Welcome to Talking with Ann on Newstalk 1492.3 WOND. Want to talk politics or what's happening in your town? This is the place. Want to give your opinion on what's happening locally, nationally, or even internationally? This is the place. And if you want civil dialogue, no matter which side of the political spectrum you're on, this is the place. Talking with Ann on Newstalk 1400 and 92.3 WOND. Here's your host, Ann Baker.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but this is not the voice of Ann Baker. This is the voice of Seth Grossman. And I had so much fun guest hosting for Ann last Friday that, and I guess Ann had so much fun having a nice long weekend that I got invited to do today's program. So this is Seth Grossman of LibertyAndProsperity.com sitting in for Ann Baker from now until noon. And everything's sort of the same. You're welcome to call in. Of course, I'm going to do my little monologues and inject my views of what's going on in the world today and why it's going on. And of course, I'm going to basically turn this into a two-hour infomercial for LibertyAndProsperity.com. And I'm going to invite you to go to that website and look up the various posts that I and others of our group have put there. And by the way, LibertyAndProsperity.com, besides posting on LibertyAndProsperity.com, we get our ideas from discussions that we have over breakfast every Saturday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 at Sal's Cold Fire Pizza. They have a nice banquet room and they serve a nice breakfast. And there's no charge for coming to our breakfast other than to order and pay for your own breakfast and give the server a tip. But basically, those discussions were inspired by what Benjamin Franklin did about 300 years ago when he discovered that the reason that Americans were better informed and just smarter and had more common sense in so many things was that Americans, unlike Europeans, were not afraid to meet with other people and openly speak what was on their mind. And when you speak what's on your mind and other people hear what you have to say, a couple of things might happen. Either the other person would agree with you and say, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Or they might push back and say, no, that's a really stupid idea. And what happens is Americans had a habit for 300 years of having these open discussions. And in Benjamin Franklin's day, he said what Americans did that was different from any other people in the world at the time was instead of shutting up or shouting down or punishing someone who disagreed with you, Americans would sort of learn from the other person. And very often in these discussions, Americans would realize that there were certain things that they hadn't thought about that the other person is making them aware of. And so Americans were not ashamed to change their opinions as they got better information. So that's and by the way, Benjamin Franklin, he called his group the Junto, which met in Philadelphia. I forget whether they met every week or every month, but we meet every Saturday morning, and that's where most of our content from LibertyAndProsperity.com comes from. Now, I'm going to try to open the program with an experiment, and I'm putting a little pressure on Scott Stevens here. And this conversation that I'm going to try to work, it's going to involve playing a couple of songs and sort of thinking about how these songs shaped America and really destroyed our culture and our confidence in each other. And I'm doing this because when I was in synagogue for the High Holidays, I had an interesting discussion with somebody, a very sophisticated business owner who I respect. He's very smart, very well-read, very well-educated. And I don't know how we got started, but somehow we got started on the subject of communist and communism. Now, I got to tell you that it took me about 50 years to really understand communist and communism and socialism and Marxism and all that stuff. And I have to admit that I completely changed my opinion. When I was in high school, I actually won either a $50 or a $75 savings bond in an American Legion speech contest. And I won that prize in high school for making a speech in a speech contest denouncing the John Birch Society and talking about how we had to have a living, breathing constitution. And I forget the details of that speech. But later I came to realize that 90% of what the John Birch Society was saying in the 1950s and 1960s was absolutely right. And they really got smeared and their brand was just about destroyed by the relentless mainstream media and the academics in the people who were teaching in the high schools, the people who were the professors in the colleges. So having said that, let me tell you about the conversation I had with this businessman I met in synagogue. So we were talking about I forget how it started, but I was talking about somehow the woke media and the biased news, and I said, "Well, that's really what the communists are doing to us." And of course, he was surprised, thinking that I'm supposed to be smart. I'm supposed to be well-informed, and how could I be babbling on about communists? And he looks at me and he says, "We all know that the communists are a tiny minority. Only a few people are really card-carrying communists. How could they possibly be a threat to America?" And I started to respond by saying, "Oh, really? In 1917, the communists were also a tiny minority in Russia. And at that time, Russia was the largest democracy in the world. And the fact that most Americans don't think Russia was a democracy, they think Russia was run by the Tsar, a dictator. But no, the Tsar had been gone for a year and a half before the communists took over. But in any case, you had a tiny minority of communists took over the largest democracy in the world. And they did it within a year or two, very short period of time. And the communists, very small minority in China, took over the largest country in the world in a very short period of time, between 1948 and 1949. And we see how the communists took over Cuba, and which was a sophisticated country, Cuba, at the time. In fact, during Prohibition, between Atlantic City and Havana, those were the two hot spots for sophisticated Americans to go to have a good time. Venezuela, one of the richest countries in the world, is now one of the poorest. Communists took over that country, which had a prosperous country, educated country, sophisticated country, with a constitution and all that stuff, just like ours. And the communists took over in a couple of years. So how do they do it? Well, one of the things about communists is it really has nothing to do with, and you see these idiot professors at Stockton, and I've heard them. Oh, the communists with a capital C and communists with a small c, they believe that the government should own all the property and all the businesses, and nobody in America believes that. Well, if you know anything about communists, you realize that it's a secret organization. So we really don't know too much about them. The only time we could know what communists are doing, just like the only time we know what the mafia is doing, is by looking at the effects of what they do. And every now and then, somebody like from the mafia will defect. Like we really didn't know too much detail about the mafia or the Cosa Nostra until back in the late 1950s, when a guy called Valachi became an informant for the FBI and told the whole story. And after that first guy, Valachi, did that, the FBI got more sophisticated to get others to do the same. So that's how we know a whole lot about the mafia. And we also know a whole lot about communists, not just because we observe what they do, but because every now and then somebody will switch sides and defect to the West, defect to America. And probably the guy who went into the most detail about it is a guy called Yuri Bezmenov, B-E-Z-M-E-N-O-V. And if you go to the libertyandprosperity.com homepage, we will show you links to not only some videos that he did, but we actually made a written transcript of the video so you could read it more quickly, and we showed you his books and so on. And I'm not going to bore you by repeating all that stuff here. But one thing that I do want to talk about, and I'm going to see if we have the technology to do that, is when I was in high school, when I was in college, not only did I by the way, let me just I'm going to wrap this segment up in just a few minutes. So afterwards, I'd like to hear your opinion. And, of course, the phone lines are open here. They're 609-927-1100. But not only when I was in high school and college, not only was I convinced that, communists were just insignificant, and that the John Birch Society and Senator McCarthy and anyone who spoke out against communists was either stupid or evil or trying to fool the people in some way, and that everybody knows that I didn't know any communists. How could communists probably influence me? And at the same time, I was really into the folk singing. I was into Peter, Paul, and Mary. I was into Bob Dylan. I was into Woody Guthrie. But my favorite was a guy called Pete Seeger. And I remember being told in high school that Pete Seeger was a communist. And I thought, that's ridiculous. Pete Seeger is singing all American folk songs. How could he possibly be a communist? But later, as I followed the hearings, and he did have to testify in congressional hearings, but we really learned the truth about Pete Seeger and some of these other folk singers years later, when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1989, and before guys like Putin, the old guard KGB secret police communist, took over and cracked down again. But there was about a year or two period when everything the communists had done in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s became public records, and people were openly reading that stuff. And that's when I found out for certain that Pete Seeger was getting paid by the communists. And every song he wrote, not every song he wrote, and that's what you do with propaganda. If you want to do effective propaganda, you don't you put the propaganda in every single thing that you do. In fact, you only inject the propaganda in maybe 10% of what you do, because you want to attract an audience and gain credibility by being just a good actor or a good sports figure or a good singer or a good painter. And once you're accepted as a leader in your profession, as a celebrity, then you inject the propaganda from time to time. So I'm going to try to give an example of this, and I see we have Alex of Buna on the line, but I hope, Alex, you'll be patient and let me just do one set of songs. So what happens when you're a communist, and what do communists believe in? Well, the short answer is communists believe that they are the smartest and they are the most compassionate, and they are the most progressive people in the world, and they should be entitled to be running things. Now, do communists believe that the government should own all the property? Do communists believe, in anything? And the short answer is no. You see, the communists just believe that they should be in control, and they should be running things, and they will do or say whatever it takes to get their power and destroy their opponents, just like the mafia. If you would say, well, what does the mafia do? Does the mafia believe in the numbers racket, illegal gambling, as the mafia get into shaking down people? And the answer is the mafia does whatever they feel like doing to have power and money and control and to destroy their opponents. Did the communists have to kill their opponents? No. Does the mafia have to kill their opponents? No. As long as you do business and you do what you're told, you can enjoy your life as long as when you are asked to do a service for the mafia guy, you will do, he will make you an offer you can't refuse and you'll do what that person tells you. All right, so let me give you just a quick example here. Imagine yourself, it's 1940. It's 1940, and by the way, another big lie that the communists have sold this country on is the idea that we have a political spectrum. We have the communist and socialist on the left, and we have the fascist and the Nazis on the right. So the extreme right is Hitler. The extreme left is like Stalin or Chairman Mao or something like that. But what we forget is the word Nazi is a German abbreviation for National Socialist. You see, Hitler was a socialist and Stalin was a socialist. And they both had different versions of socialism. And in 1939 and 1940 and 1941, Hitler and Stalin, the Nazis and the communists, were allies. And the two of them had taken total control of Europe. And they were at war with England. And when the National Socialist of Hitler and the Communist Socialist of Russia were about to wipe out England, led by Winston Churchill, England desperately begged America for help, for weapons, for money, for food. And what were the liberal, socialist, communist folk singers like Pete Seeger singing about? Who was the enemy? Was the enemy Hitler? No, the enemy was England. And my favorite leftist folk singer, Pete Seeger, was with a group called the Almanac Singers. And here is the protest song he was singing in 1940 called Billy Boy. Let's see, can we play that now?
Will you go to the wall, Billy Boy, Billy Boy? Will you go to the wall, Charming Billy?
It's a long ways away, they are dying every day.
He's a young boy and cannot leave his mother.
Can you use a bayonet, Billy Boy, Billy Boy? Can you use a bayonet, Charming Billy?
No, I haven't got the skill to murder and to kill.
He's a young boy and cannot leave his mother.
Don't you want a silver medal, Billy Boy, Billy Boy? Don't you want a silver medal, Charming Billy?
No desire do I feel to defend Republic Steel.
He's a young boy and cannot leave his mother.
Don't you want to see the world, Billy Boy, Billy Boy? Don't you want to see the world, Charming Billy?
No, it wouldn't be much thrill to die for DuPont in Brazil.
He's a young boy. All right.
So you get the gist. So Pete Seeger, at the time when the world is mobilizing against Hitler, or we think so, the leftist communist folk singers were saying that anyone who wanted to support the, you know, the army or the military or to help out England is bad and is stupid. And if we kept playing the song, he actually talks about England and how he doesn't like Churchill or whatever. So we have that. And then we have time in 30 seconds. So as soon as Hitler double crosses Stalin and invades Russia on June 22nd, 1941, suddenly the folk singer Pete Seeger and his Almanac Singers and Woody Guthrie, they stop singing peace songs and they suddenly start singing war songs. And I'll play that when we get back on the other side of the hour, and then we'll talk to Alex Abuna. This is Seth Grossman sitting in for Ann Baker. We'll be right back.
WOND News Time is 10:30. We have 63 degrees and some rain falling at Longport Media in Lynnwood. Here's the latest from ABC News.
Accused Oxford, Michigan high school shooter Ethan Crumbly today pleaded guilty to all 24 counts he was facing. Van Johnson represents several families who lost loved ones.
It's a big step, and it's a horrible charge, and at least he admitted finally a year later.
Crumley's parents are also facing charges for allegedly buying him the gun that he used to shoot and kill four of his classmates. Part of the western United States getting walloped by the first big winter storm. ABC's Mola Lenghi.
Folks in the western U.S. here waking up to the first widespread snowstorm of the season here in Avon, Colorado, near Vail. It had been snowing up until about an hour ago. Some flakes still falling, but certainly leaving its mark. We got a few inches here. Other parts of the Colorado Rockies got up to 11 inches overnight, but it was nearly double that in Montana, which was the hardest hit state.
The next British prime minister will be Rishi Sunak. The former finance minister won the leadership of the Conservative Party and becomes the first person of color in Britain's top political post. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Broadleys WOND Weather Center.
Happy Monday to you, South Jersey. Cloudy, overcast skies are the story today. We could see a few stray showers this morning. Damp and dreary with a breeze coming from the north and northeast. High temperatures will only be in the low 60s. Tonight, more clouds. Lows in the upper 50s by Tuesday morning. Tuesday, more not great weather with cloudy, overcast skies. A few stray showers possible Tuesday. During the morning, we could see minor coastal flooding with high temperatures in the afternoon in the mid-60s. For Longport Media, I'm meteorologist Alexa Trischler.
WOND News Time is 10:32, and currently the ocean water temperature is 62. Right now, we have 63 with some rain in Northfield, 62 in cloudy skies in Strathmere, also cloudy and 62 on the world-famous boardwalk in Atlantic City. I'm Scott Stevens, WOND News. Keep it here for more breaking news as it happens throughout the day. We'll stay tuned for more of Seth Grossman next. He's in for Ann Baker today on News Talk 1400 and 92.3 WOND, South Jersey's News Talk Leader.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign, and we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Cast your vote on Election Day, and then tune in to WOND for real-time election results and instant analysis. Join us starting at 7 p.m. Tuesday, November 8th, as our own Dan Klein teams with ABC News anchor Aaron Katursky, White House correspondent Karen Travers, and a team of analysts to bring you exclusive coverage of all the local, statewide, and national races that will shape our future. WOND's Election Night coverage, Tuesday, November 8th at 7 on News Talk 1400 and 92.3 WOND.
WOND Pleasantville.
Live and local radio you can depend on. News Talk 1400 and 92.3 WOND. South Jersey's News Talk Leader. Listen online at WONDradio.com.
All right, this is Seth Grossman sitting in for Ann Baker, doing a little exercise at how my favorite folk singers growing up in the 60s were basically inspired by Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, the Almanac Singers, and the Weavers of the 1940s. And what I later learned when the communist Russia supposedly collapsed, and it did collapse for a couple of years in 1989, until Putin and the old-line communists took back over again a couple of years later. So all their records were open. And then I found out that all these folk singers who I admired so much were actually getting paid by the communist government under Stalin. And whenever Stalin would make up something, these folk singers would go in favor of whatever Stalin wanted them to do. And then when Stalin changed his mind, instantly, these folk singers would immediately start singing songs for just the total opposite. So I was pointing out that in 1940, when Hitler and the Nazis, the National Socialists of Germany, were allies with Stalin and the Communist Socialists of Russia, and they had taken over most of Europe, and they were about to wipe out England. And England was desperately asking for military supplies and for help and for food and for weapons and for money. You had the communists and the left-wingers, the same left, and these folk singers are saying, oh, no, no, England is evil. England is with the big corporations. England is with the imperialists. Our loyalty is with the socialists, the National Socialist of Germany, and the Communist Socialist of Russia. So that's how it was until June 22nd of 1941. Now, what happened on June 22nd, 1941? Hitler double-crossed Stalin, and he invaded Russia. Now, some would say, well, see, that's proof that the communists and the Nazis were completely the opposite, because after all, you know, they were trying to wipe each other out. But when you think about it, isn't that what socialists and communists always do? I mean, if we remembered any history of the communist movement, we know that after Vladimir Lenin died, he did not want Stalin to take over the communist movement. He wanted a guy called Leon Trotsky to take over. And the majority of the Communist Party agreed that Trotsky was the man and that Stalin was a thug. And for 10 years, you had a power struggle. And what happened in that power struggle? You had, you know, just like the mafia, Stalin wiped out every single communist leader who supported Trotsky, and Trotsky ran away to Mexico. And in 1940, Stalin had Trotsky killed in Mexico with a hatchet in his head. Now, of course, I know that history, and most people in libertyandprosperity.com know that history because we talk about it. But this history is not taught in Stockton University or in Rowan University or in any high school because it's politically inconvenient. So to say that the communists and the Nazis are opposite because they tried to wipe each other out is like saying that, let's use the Godfather. That's like saying the Corleones and the Barzinis. They couldn't possibly have been together in the mafia because they tried to kill each other. But that's what happens because, you see, when you have a group of people who think that they are the smartest, they're the most virtuous, they're the ones entitled to rule the most, of course they're going to kill each other as to which one is the most smartest and the most virtuous and the most deserving of ruling the world. So anyway, so what songs did Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie and the Almanac Singers and the Weavers, what song did they play immediately after June 22nd, 1941, when Hitler double-crossed Stalin? Well, there's actually a fascinating YouTube video where Pete Seeger, it's completely described. He said, I'm get up one morning in my apartment. There's a knock at my door. It's Woody Guthrie. And Woody Guthrie says, or Pete Seeger says to Woody Guthrie, his fellow folk singer, well, what's up? He said, so Woody says, did you hear Hitler invaded Stalin's Russia? And of course, Pete Seeger says, oh, my God, that's horrible. What are we going to do? And Woody said, Guthrie smiled. He said, well, now we got to stop singing peace songs and start making some war songs. And that's exactly what they did. And the first war song that Woody Guthrie wrote was this. It's called...
Have you heard of a ship called the Good Reuben James? Manned by hard-fighting men, both of honor and fame. She flew the stars and stripes of this land of the free. Tonight she's in her grave on the bottom of the sea. Tell me what was their names, tell me what was their names. You have a friend on that good Reuben James. What was their names, tell me what was their names. You have a friend on
All right, so here you see how the leftist folk singers just went from singing peace songs to singing war songs. And by the way, the Reuben James, in case you don't know it, but of course you don't know it. The Reuben James was a destroyer of the United States Navy that was sunk by German U-boats in September of, I believe, of 1941, before Pearl Harbor, before America was at war with Germany. And until that time, you had your leftist folk songers like Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie and the Weavers and the Almanac Singers. They're all saying it was horrible for America to be sending destroyers to protect convoys taking food and weapons to England. They called Roosevelt a warmonger for doing that. But yet immediately after the communist socialist of Russia were invaded by the National Socialist of Germany, suddenly the same leftists are singing songs praising the war effort and praising men like the people who died, the men who died on the good ship, the Reuben James. I'm going to just do one more example of this before I open up the phones. And I see I lost Alex of Buna, and I apologize for that, but I want to get this point out. So let me set the table for this other group of songs that was done, again, by Woody Guthrie, by Pete Seeger, by the Weavers, by the Almanac Singers. And this song is called Banks of Marble. And the song Banks of Marble is lamenting the American working class during the Depression. They talk about the farmers who are losing everything because the prices are so low, they can't pay the mortgages, their farms are being taken by the banks, and these are the good people of America, the farmers. And they talk about the miners working in the mine and the factory workers and the men, the blue-collar workers at the shipyards, all suffering, how we have to recognize that these good men are the backbone of America. These are the songs that were being written by all these leftist folk singers in 1939, 1940, 1941. You want to play Banks of Marbles? Banks of Marble.
I've traveled around this country from shore to shining shore. It really made me wonder the things I heard and saw. I saw the weary farmer a-plowing sod and loam. I heard the auction hammer just a-knocking down his home. But the banks are made of marble, with a guard at every door. And the vaults are stuffed with silver that the farmer sweated for. I've seen the seamen standing idly by the shore, and I heard their bosses saying, got no work for you no more. But the banks are made of marble, with a guard at every door. And the vaults are stuffed with silver that the seamen sweated for.
All right, so there you see Pete Seeger and singing Banks of Marble. And if you go on YouTube or any of your what is it, you go to Alexa or whatever, the Weavers do it in perfect, beautiful harmony. And that was like, those were the songs that were the inspired all the folk singers of the 1950s and 1960s. So you get the drift that America was really built by the blue collar working class, the miners, the farmers, the people who worked at the shipyards, the people who worked at the docks, the people who worked at the factories. This is the backbone of America being ruthlessly exploited by the banks and the political class. And if you get into the last stanza of the song, so the, what's the solution? To join the working class socialist party that's going to have the government work for the workers again. So that was 1939, 1940, 1941. So what happened after that song came out. We had World War II. And then after World War II, we had all the soldiers got out of the army. They came home. They got married. They had families. And they had children. And I was one of those children. This was the baby boom generation. And what did they do? Immediately, they opened up businesses. They got jobs. They had a better life. They had plenty of food. They bought a car. They bought houses in the suburbs. They had miraculously transformed America from a land where the working people of this country were barely making a living, living with not enough food and cramped housing, to living the American dream. So now it's time for Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie and the Almanac Singers and the Weavers to talk, you would think, about the wonder of America, the opportunity that in just 20 years allowed the country of America to be transformed from a hopeless, starving, hungry country with no opportunity to a land where anyone could succeed. But that's not the song that Pete Seeger wrote in the 1950s. He instead wrote this popular song which transformed America, and it was called Little Boxes. Can we play that song?
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, little boxes, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university, and they all got put in boxes, little boxes all the same. And there's doctors and there's lawyers and business executives, and they all get put in boxes and they all come out the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink their martini dry, and they all have pretty children, and the children go to school, and the children go to summer camp, and then to the university, and they all get put in boxes, and they all come out the same.
All right, I think you heard enough there. So what does Pete Seeger say to America when America does this miracle? In just 20 years, America takes a country where most people are poor, with poor housing, poor food, no access to cars or a better life, not being able to send their children to the best schools. So within 20 years, America not only wins a war against Germany and Japan, the two strongest and most evil dictatorships and mass murderers in the world, of course, except for the communists, or actually they were communists because they're just a different strain of socialism. We not only win the war, but when the war is over, we create so much opportunity that the hungry miner and the poor farmer and the poor factory worker and the poor dock worker not only succeed, but they move to the suburbs, have a car, have vacations, send their kids to summer camp, send their kids to college, give their children opportunities they never dreamed of. But instead of praising this land of opportunity, they denounce it. The so-called progressives denounce them as not having culture, not having sophistication, and so on. So to me, and at the time, I thought these were really cool folk songs. But looking back, I realize what disgusting people these so-called progressive leaders of our culture were. And that's when they started tearing down American culture brick by brick. So you say, well, communists are just a handful of people? Yeah, they're a handful of people, but notice how they choose their people. They choose to get people, celebrities in the arts, teachers, professors, people in the media, people in these woke, in these corporations to make them woke, the people who run the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, professional sports. So now you see how they do it. Anyway, so this was a real awakening for me. So it took me, and I thought I was a pretty smart, sophisticated, well-read, educated fella. It took me 50 years to figure this out. So now at the age of 73, I'm with libertyandprosperity.com trying to teach others and sitting at this microphone here to teach you what it took me 50 years to learn. Anyway, this is Seth Grossman sitting in for Barbara Altman. And now, Alex of Bune, if you'd like to call back, I hope you will. But anyone else wants to call or comment and give your thoughts, let me know. Phone lines are open 609-927-1100. And while I wait for this avalanche of phone calls here for sitting in for Barbara Altman, let me tell you something else that's on my mind. And this is something that you're starting to see in the papers. It's getting to be close to Halloween, and it's 2022, and it's 10 years after a hurricane that we had here, hurricane called Sandy. And I remember that hurricane. I was here, and I hear one lie after another about that hurricane, about the significance of that hurricane, and how the left is using that hurricane to say it's proof of climate change, it's proof that we have to have green energy, we have to have wind turbines, solar panels, cut our carbon fuel, and it's all nonsense, it's all lies, and I know it's a lie because I lived through it, and I'd like to share your experiences as to why it's all a lie. And I see all the phones did light up. You would think I was giving away a prize, but I wish I did have a prize to give away, but I don't. It's just the only prize I could offer you is liberty, because if you have a country of liberty, you also have prosperity, and you also have a land that the you have this German expression, das Land des unbegrenzten Möglichkeiten, the land of boundless opportunities, a phrase that began in 1776, during the American Revolution, when George Washington captured 1,000 German mercenary soldiers in Trenton and captured them, treated them well. And these German soldiers who had been fighting America started writing letters home saying, "We're fighting on the wrong side. America is such a wonderful country. It's this land of boundless opportunity." Let's go to Phil of Egg Harbor Township. Phil, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hi, Seth. This is a first time for me to call you and speak to you, although I've heard you off and on for years on the different stations and different shows and whatnot. So it's good to finally be calling you here. What really prompted me to call you now is I just tuned into your show about 10:38, just about 15 minutes ago, and I heard some of those musical examples that you played. And, you know, I'll just tell you, I am a pianist, singer, songwriter. And when I heard that last song by Pete Seeger, it really disgusted me, because I could hear in his voice just like the, you know, the hatred that he had for our system, and his criticism of people who are having a better life, like putting down houses in a row that all look the same. Well, you know what? If those people were out living on the street somewhere in some dump, or, you know, living out in the woods, they'd much prefer to be in one of those houses that all look the same, and to be going to a decent school, to be going to a decent college, to have good food to eat, clean water to drink, and all like that. To hear that Pete Seeger criticizing that just makes me sick.
But let me tell you, when I heard that song for the first time, I grew up in a nice house. I grew up going to summer camp. And yeah, I knew some superficial people, and I was saying, oh, what a cool song this is. What I did not realize is that my parents grew up in a walk-up apartment. You know, we had to walk up five flights, and you didn't have hot water. And you struggled every day to work. And I realized that not only did my parents work so hard to give me that better life in a better house, but before they got to do that, they had to fight a war for 4 years against people who wanted to turn me and my family into a bar of soap, you know? And here you have Pete Seeger is laughing them and mocking them. And of course, it took me 50 years to understand that. And now that I have that anger, I see how our children, our grandchildren are being brainwashed with that seductive music and mocking the other side. And this is why we have to wake up. So thank you so much for feeling exactly the way I felt when I, a song that when I was a kid, I thought it was cool. And now I see how disgusting it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It really hit home to me. That song specifically woke me up.
So now you're woke.
Okay. That's right. But it woke me up in a good way. You know, it woke me up in the right way. And you know, sadly, like Pete Seeger is not the only one who has put out stuff like that. You know, Joni Mitchell also, who came out of the folk era herself in a lot of ways. Joni Mitchell, she's a leftist, and she puts out songs similar to that, criticizing things in America that are just, in her opinion, not good enough, and things that are all the same, and you know, I can't believe these people that they would want to criticize something like, you know, what you said after the wars, after we defeated Hitler and we got back and we built up so much prosperity here in America. How the heck could those folks,
yeah, yeah,
et cetera, criticize it?
Yeah.
You know?
But they did. And we're now paying the price. And of course, when I started to realize what they were doing to our culture and our children, like so many Americans, I was building my family dream. I'm spending 80 hours working in the office. I'm buying a house in the suburbs I can't afford so I could have better schools. And I'm trusting the schools to raise my children. And then I see what happened. Anyway, thank you so much, Phil. And I hope that you'll go to libertyandprosperity.com. I hope you'll subscribe to our email updates. And I hope that now that you're woke, you're going to help me wake up some others, okay?
Okay, Seth. Thank you.
Great. Libertyandprosperity.com. Let's go right to Alex of Buna before we lose him again. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I got a minute here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And if you want to continue on the other side of the hour, if we run short.
Well, I've been holding 20 minutes.
I feel terrible.
But I'm sorry. I had a point to make, but I can't wait while somebody discusses music. You have a good day.
Okay. Well, there you go. I can't make everybody happy, but it's just the luck of the draw. That music shaped our culture. And at least I got someone who is woke, and hopefully maybe Alex could find time to it will take him first thing if he calls on the other side of the hour. This is Seth Grossman sitting in for Ann Baker, talking to Ann here on News Talk 1400 WOND. And libertyandprosperity.com is the goal.
WOND Pleasantville.
W223CO Atlantic City.
We have 63 degrees at Longport Media in Linwood. News is next.